The following is audio from Fellowship Community Church in Centennial, Colorado. If you would like more resources or want to support this ministry, please visit www.fcchurch.org.
We, last week, were talking about the rest that the Lord gives us. And next week, we'll start our Christmas series. We're going to look at a few questions. We're going to answer a few questions. And I promise next week there will be Christmas decorations up. We're just in that transition this week. If you remember last week, we were talking about how in Matthew 11, Jesus was giving thanks. I praise you, Father. And he's praising the Father because the Father reveals truth to little children. He makes it easy. He puts it on the bottom shelf. And what a blessing that is, because we all come to Christ like little children. None of us come saying, I'm going to do you a favor, Lord, I'll join your team. No, it's not like that at all. And that's just precious. And then he celebrated and gave thanks because of the relationship he has with the Father, that it's eternal, it's perfect, it's complete. And then that the Father, entrusting all things to him, gives him the responsibility of revealing the truth to everybody. You know, as the writer of Hebrews says, in the past God spoke through prophets, but now he has spoken to us through his Son. And things of truth come through him. And then we were seeing that Jesus was given thanks because he could restore the weary, the restoration. And it's in that context that he makes that statement, I will give you rest. Come unto me, all you who labor and are burdened, and I will give you rest. Now, I wondered if you thought about that this week. What did he mean by that? What exactly is this rest that he's going to give us? And since today's Sabbath, I thought, okay, we will explore this a little bit. And I'm reading from a passage of Scripture in Hebrews. Now, I'm going to read a long passage of Scripture, but don't get too nervous because I'm only going to concentrate on one verse, which is kind of at the end of the text. But I want you to listen careful because the word rest comes up again and again and again. And he talks about the rest that God took at creation. Was God tired out after 6 days of creation? No. He rested and it was complete. It was finished. Everything of the universe and the plan of Almighty God was put into place. And so since it was complete, he could rest. And then we're going to talk in the text about the rest that was promised to the children of Israel when they came out of Egypt. You're going to enter the land of Canaan and it'll be a land with no wars and there will be rest. And there's a gospel rest, isn't there? And that's another rest that we can explore together. So listen carefully as I read. I'm reading from Hebrews chapter 3, and I'm going to begin at verse 7. So as the Holy Spirit says, today, if you hear his voice, do not harden your hearts as you did in the rebellion during the time of testing in the wilderness, where your ancestors tested and tried me, though for 40 years they saw what I did. That is why I was angry with that generation. I said, their hearts are always going astray, and they have not known my ways. So I declared on oath in my anger, they shall never enter my rest. See to it, brothers and sisters, that none of you has a sinful, unbelieving heart that turns away from the living God. But encourage one another daily as long as it is called today, so that none of you may be hardened by sin's deceitfulness. We have come to share in Christ if indeed we hold our original conviction firmly to the end. As has just been said, today if you hear his voice, do not harden your hearts as you did in the rebellion. Who were they who heard and rebelled? Were they not all those Moses led out of Egypt? And with whom was he angry for 40 years? Was it not with those who sinned, whose bodies perished in the wilderness? And to whom did God swear that they would never enter his rest, if not to those who disobeyed? So we see that they were not able to enter because of their unbelief. I want you to see that connection. Unbelief often leads to disobedience, and disobedience often leads to unbelief. The two are very closely tied, and actually in the original, they're very close words. Therefore, since the promise of entering his rest still stands, let us be careful that none of you be found to have fallen short of it. For we also have had the good news proclaimed to us, just as they did, but the message they heard was of no value to them because they did not share the faith of those who obeyed. Now we who have believed enter that rest, just as God has said, so I declared on oath in my anger, they shall never enter my rest. And yet his works have been finished since the creation of the world. For somewhere he has spoken about the seventh day in these words, on the seventh day God rested from his works. And again in the passage above he says, they shall never enter my rest. Therefore, since it still remains for some to enter that rest, and since those who formerly had the good news proclaimed to them did not go in because of their disobedience, God again set a certain day, calling it today. This he did when a long time later he wrote through David, as the passage already quoted, today if you hear his voice, do not harden your hearts. For if Joshua had given them rest, God would not have spoken later about another day. There remains then a Sabbath rest for the people of God. For anyone who enters God's rest also rests from their works, just as God did from his. Let us therefore make every effort to enter that rest, so that no one will perish by following their example of disobedience. And I know that's quite a long passage. I would encourage you today, if you have some time, to reread it, think about it, meditate on it. But it's pretty obvious that he talked about creation. He talked about that rest that they missed. You remember that as they went to Canaan, they come to Kadesh Barnea and they send in 12 spies. You know, and 10 came back and said, oh, we can't defeat them. There's giants in there. We'll never be able to defeat them. And it's Joshua and Caleb who say, oh, no, we can. We can. And then 40 years, they were disciplined for 40 years because of their unbelief. You see, they took a congregational vote. It's always dangerous to do that, right? And unfortunately, the vote went the wrong way that day, and they were shut out. But even still, somebody said, I think it was Howard Hendricks one day. He said, what did Moses do for 40 years? Funerals. Like, it was horrible. They all died out, except for Joshua and Caleb, who went in because of their faith, and perhaps some others. But the idea is just that God still took care of them. Have you read in Scripture about that wilderness season? They got fed bread every day. Manna. You know what it means in Hebrew? What is it? Like, they didn't know what it was. Can you imagine your whole existence? Do you go to the grocery store? No, we just go out and get it off the ground, and, you know, when we eat it. And we get, you know, some meat once in a while as well. So God was preparing. You know, their shoes didn't wear out. Can you imagine that? For 40 years, they had the same sandals, and they didn't wear out. So God was taking care of them all that time, and they're hearing the message, but they're not combining it with faith. See, and that's the point. So we come to then what I would like to call the gospel rest. And why would the gospel be a gospel of rest? Because it's secure. Because it's promised and it's guaranteed to be delivered. And it's free. Because it's not based on our works. It's based on his work. That's why Jesus said, it is finished. How much was finished at the end of the cross? All of it. That was enough to pay for our sins. Now, he rose again on the third day, he ascended back into heaven, and he's still working, isn't he? Rest doesn't mean he's not working. He's interceding for us. Isn't it dramatic when Stephen dies and he gets up to greet Stephen into heaven? That's just amazing when you think about it. Wow, he stood up just to invite Stephen in, that incredible martyr in the book of Acts. So we can enter a rest in the gospel. Get off the performance treadmill. Think that we've got to earn our way. No. He did it for us. Now, we've got stuff to do. Once we enter the rest, we got a lot of stuff to do. And there's also the eternal rest. That's not in the text, but we know that, you know, when someone dies, we pray that they'll rest in peace. And for a believer, there is rest and glory, but there's still stuff to do. And we're not sitting around on clouds playing harps all day. I tell you, we got stuff we're going to do in eternity forever. And it's going to be so fulfilling. Can you imagine it? It'll be rest because we won't have any sin nature. Hallelujah. We won't have any weeds. Oh, man. Praise God, right? We won't have any disease. We won't have any tears. That'll be a real experience of a new experience of rest. But the text is concentrating on gospel rest. And so this one verse says, let us, and includes himself, therefore, make every effort to enter that rest so that no one will perish by following their example of disobedience. That's gospel rest. It's similar to what we talked about last week in Jesus giving us rest and telling us, come to me, take my yoke, and learn from me. Okay, it's a very similar thing. What I found interesting is we enter by faith. That's what he says in verse 3 of the text. It comes out, we enter by faith. They believed and they entered the rest, and we enter the same way. We also strive to enter by faith. Now that's very interesting because we're talking about rest, and yet he uses this very clear word, strive. And it's a very interesting word, actually. I think it is. So it means originally to make haste. And so you see it here in 2 Timothy 4:9. Do your best to come to me quickly. So when you use that word, it does mean something you do quickly or with haste because it's urgent. You don't put it off. The secular writers use this verb of a military campaign. If you are given orders for maneuvers, you don't say, well, maybe we'll do that next week. No, you do it quickly because it needs to be done and it's urgent. So keep that in mind. When we're entering this rest, we're doing it quickly. We're not going to put off. We're not going to say, maybe tomorrow I'll do it. No, we're going to do it quickly. And we also do it diligently. Now notice how the lexicon says, to be in earnest, concentrate one's energies on the achievement of a goal. And it's used that way 9 times in the New Testament. In fact, that's the predominant way this verb is used. And so let me give you a few illustrations. In Ephesians 4:3, make every effort, there's our word, to keep the unity of the Spirit through the bond of peace. Are we all unified in Christ? Oh, yeah. But do we always get along? Right? So make every effort to keep, to protect the unity of the Spirit and the bond of peace. See, you're going to do it with haste, quickly, but you're also going to do it thoroughly. You're going to do it with diligence. Yeah. 2 Timothy 2:15, our great Awana verse. This is the verse for our Awana program. Do your best to present yourself to God as one approved, a worker who does not need to be ashamed and who correctly handles the word of truth. Do your best. Do it quickly, do it thoroughly, do your best. Do it with excellence. How about this? Therefore, my brothers and sisters, make every effort to confirm your calling and election. There's Peter using the same verb. And again in 2 Peter. So then, dear friends, since you are looking forward to this, and in the context it's the new heaven and the new earth, make every effort to be found spotless, blameless, and at peace with him. So you get the idea that entering rest is something very vitally important. We are to do it immediately, and we're to do it thoroughly. We're to be sure and certain that we have really, truly entered the rest that he promised by faith, gospel rest. Okay, so why? Because it has eternal consequences. Therefore, make every effort to enter that rest so that no one will perish by following their example of disobedience. And we could add disbelief. Yeah. Yeah. It's sad that a whole generation of people died in the wilderness Even though they were heard the truth, they heard it, they took notes, they could recite it. They just didn't combine it with faith. You see, this is what's so crucial. The belief, the trust in the Savior. It's not enough to just know about Him. We need to know Him. And we do that by faith. Make every effort to enter that rest. And do it while it's called today. Because you have the opportunity, you see. That's why he said that again and again in this context. I hope you'll get to read it and think about it. Because it's so very, very crucial. We enter the rest by faith. As it said earlier in the chapter. I want to tell you about this guy, Mr. Martinez. Very interesting story. The title of the article was entitled this way in the Wall Street Journal in April of this past year. He went to bed a street sweeper. He woke up a national celebrity. Aren't you intrigued? He was one of the thousands of fluorescent green uniformed street sweepers in Mexico City, toiling with their long bristled brushes in 8-hour shifts for about $10 a day. And then came the video. Mr. Martinez, a 24-year-old aspiring musician and composer, recorded himself riding on the back of his garbage truck as it rumbled down one of the city streets. His fellow sweepers were unaware of what was going on. He made several takes early one morning and then laid the images over his romantic song that he had written about a love scorned. At 7 p.m. on January 27th of this year, he posted it on TikTok. Waking up the next day for his 6 a.m. shift, Mr. Martinez was shocked to see his song, Beautiful Dream, My Love, had around 100,000 views overnight. That day I went to work, but I was really distracted because I kept checking my TikTok, he said. 2 weeks later, he quit because he had become an overnight sensation. People now recognize him on the streets of Mexico City and they want selfies with him. His first performance after that went viral with a free concert on Valentine's Day in front of a few hundred enthusiastic people listening. And he had his former workers there right on the front row as they cheered him on. Well, I can't tell you if you put your trust in Christ and enter rest, you're going to become a celebrity. But I'll tell you this, things will change. It's so beautiful and glorious that he has given us freely this rest, this gospel. And all we need to do is believe on Christ. It's something serious. Yes, we strive to make sure that we really are in the faith by believing on the Lord Jesus. We feel convicted of our sins and we repent of them and say, Lord, please forgive me of my sins and give me that new life. Give me that rest that you've promised. And then we follow him. And that's the gospel. And that's what God laid on my heart today. When we're talking about rest, let's talk about gospel rest. Let's talk about the amazing transformation that takes place when we put our faith and trust in Christ. If you have never trusted Christ and you're watching online today, put your trust in Christ. If you're here in the room, put your trust in Christ. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and everything will change. You'll never regret it. You will forever regret turning Christ down. But you'll never regret putting your trust in Christ. But I have to be honest and say, some might say I believe, but life is tougher, even more heartaches, and little rest for my soul. Have you noticed Satan has a follow-up program? Many of us, when we first trusted Christ, found life became harder, became more difficult, but now we had the means in Christ to overcome the difficulties and sorrows and griefs of life. I was reading Paul Tripp's Gospel Christmas Devotional. It's excellent. And he talks about some things that I think would be helpful. And he reminds us that God is for us. Who can be against us? That's a beautiful reminder every year every Christmas, every day. And let me read what else he said. Sometimes it is hard to see God. In these moments, it's tempting to wonder whether he is near and whether he is doing anything. So it's important to understand that the God who works in the light also works in the shadows. His sovereign power and redeeming care are not always clear, but we ought not to think he is absent, distant, inactive, or uncaring. God never forsakes his own, and he never fails to deliver what he has promised. The assumption that we can't see evidence of his presence or care does not mean he is not present or at work. You may not always see God's hand, but you can trust assured that your Lord never ceases working for your good and his glory. Remember that the God who is active in the light is just as active in the shadows. Even though his name might not appear to be plastered all over your story, he is with you, in you, and for you. And that is the reason to rest in his care and give yourself to his work. Yeah, that's such a blessed, blessed truth that he shares with us. Dear Lord, we thank you that there is a rest for your people. We receive it by faith. And Lord, again, I just pray for anybody here present or those watching online that today would be the day when they would realize they have been trying so hard to earn acceptance with you and forgiveness. And it doesn't come by our work. It comes by the work that Jesus did for us in our place. And all you need do, if you're in that place right now, just cry out to him in your own words. Say, Lord, I repent of my sins. I know I've sinned, and I can feel the guilt of it. And Lord, please forgive me of my sins and give me this gift of eternal life, that I might know you and walk with you and serve you forever and ever. You pray a prayer like that and you mean it, there's no magic words, but if you pray a prayer like that, he'll change your life. He'll give you the gift of eternal life. Lord, I thank you for the rest. Some of us need to hear that today because life's been hectic and it's a hectic season, and these holiday seasons can be very difficult on us emotionally and otherwise. And I just pray, Father, that a sense of your peace and real tranquility, the peace of the assurance that I'm safe in your hands forever, that heaven is my certain destiny, and that'll be a season of incredible rest and worshiping you without sin, without disease, without sorrow, in that glorious, perfect place, all because of Jesus, who died in our place and gave us the gift of eternal life. I pray, Father, you'll bless us as we conclude these moments thinking about rest, and you'll help us this week and today to remember to worship you on the first day of the week, the day you arose, our dear Sabbath day. In Jesus' name, amen.
You've been listening to audio from Fellowship Community Church in Centennial, Colorado. If you'd like more resources or want to support this ministry, please visit www.fcchurch.org.